Jenny Mack with your daily comedy news. Apparently over at Amazon, they've got some sort of new internal messaging app. Stephen Colbert said the app essentially censors anything that's controversial in Amazon, including the word restroom, which you know may not be missed. Many Amazon workers are more familiar with the phrases empty Powerade bottle or on Bezos's grave. That's really good. Jimmy Kimmel said all the words Amazon will not allow: unions, strikes, wages, restrooms, pee bottles, empty Dasani, bladder infections, happiness, life outside work, home, going home, I think I live at home but can't remember, help, help us, penis rocket, overcompensating, dork, space dork, bald space dork, and I don't want to have sex with Alexa. Wow. Chris Rock talked about the slap briefly on his Friday night show. Chris said, I'm okay. I have a whole show and I'm not talking about the Will Smith incident until I get paid. Life is good. I got my hearing back. The Deseret Sun had some folks there who said Chris also made light of corporations attempting to embrace diversity, raising his daughters, being single again, and people being afraid of offending anyone for any reason. Bill Maher chimed in on all this. He said, now, I know we're all sick of talking about the slap, but I'm sorry. One more thing needs to be said. Comedians have been under attack for quite some time, and I need to stick up for my tribe. The war on jokes must end. Mark continued. He said to Jada Smith, Jada, can't wait for G.I. Jane 2. That's it. That's the joke. You remind me of some other beautiful buzz-cutted movie star. It wasn't an alopecia joke any more than the one about the chicken crossing the road is about bird flu. I've seen the same syndrome happen in comedy clubs. Woke hecklers who literally have to wait for the laughter to die down before they yell, that's not funny! This war on jokes must end. Will Smith didn't get kicked out of the Oscars for going Ike Turner on Chris, but Kevin Hart got kicked out of hosting it for a joke. Maher then talked about George Carlin giving up a, quote, lucrative career in nightclubs in favor of college campuses. He quoted Carlin saying, I gotta go to colleges. I belong with people who are open and will let me be myself and experiment. Maher said, George, it's a good thing you're dead, because today the seven words you can't say on TV are, Jada can't wait for G.I. Jane 2. For all those who are constantly demanding an apology for jokes, maybe it's you who should apologize to us. For all the great jokes that we never got to hear, the brilliant thoughts that were never uttered. Those are the invisible scars of cancel culture. Let's have a moment of silence for that and a spot in the memoriam package for all the viable jokes that could have lived. Jokes that were aborted because a voice in someone's head said, are you sure you want to risk saying that? That's self-censorship, the worst kind of all. Donald Glover decided to weigh in on Joe Rogan and Dave Chappelle in what Entertainment Weekly called a bizarre new self-interview. This interview was in Interview Magazine. Donald Glover interviewed himself. He gave his thoughts on Chappelle, which are, you are who you are. Later in the interview with himself, he returns to the subject and discusses criticism on the internet. Donald Glover, being interviewed by Donald Glover, answered, you have to sift through and try and see if somebody's debating in good faith. The internet doesn't provide a large enough amount of that. You know what? I'll tie in my Joe Rogan and Chappelle answer now, too. A lot of people believe both of them are doing what they do in good faith. It's not cynical. It's not CNN or Fox. It doesn't feel good to most people like they're trying to sell something. People are looking for other people to interact with in good faith because a lot of rage is artificial. People have emotional diabetes and don't even know it. Donald Glover asked Donald Glover his thoughts on cancel culture, and Donald Glover answered Donald Glover by saying, yuck, can we not? That sounds very bizarre, Donald Glover. I've been telling you about T.I. doing comedy. Apparently, he got booed at the Barclays Center on Saturday night. I haven't seen too many details of the booing, but there are people tweeting saying the crowd wasn't into it and booed T.I. during his act. T.I. was part of the April Fool's Comedy Jam in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. It featured comedians Rip Michaels, Nick Cannon, Ha Ha Davis, Eddie Griffin, B. Simone, Tony Roberts, Bruce Bruce, Michael Blackson, Joe Torre, Jacob Williams, and, of course, comedian T.I. Tulsa World pointed out that it was 30 years ago yesterday that Sam Kinison passed away. They had a quote from Robin Williams, who said this after Sam died. Robin said of Sam, he was like a comedy combination of Chuck Yeager and Evel Knievel. Most people go to the edge and then stop. Not Sam. He'd see the edge and then keep going. And I think that scream he was famous for was just the sound he made on the way down. Tulsa World had an anecdote. I hadn't heard this before. Remember the movie Three Amigos from 1986? Martin Short, Steve Martin, Chevy Chase. Remember that one? Apparently, there were scenes with Sam Kinison as a hard-to-kill, cannibalistic mountain man. But as scenes went up on the cutting room floor, his brother Bill Kinnison said they'd shoot him and he wouldn't die. They stab him and he wouldn't die. They drown him in a river from which Sam caught pneumonia and he won't die. But why was he cut from the film? Bill Kinnison wrote in his book, in the short time he was on the set, Sam found Chevy Chase arrogant, cold, and pompous. I think we've heard that of Chevy before. So Sam pinned the blame on him. He thought Chase had convinced the director John Landis to cut Sam out of the movie. After all the attention he got for Back to School, Sam thought Chase feared he'd steal the spotlight on Three Amigos. Didn't really make sense. A director as strong as John Landis bowing like that to an actor. Sam being Sam went with that anyway. Did you watch Saturday Night Live? It was okay. I liked the sketch Why Do You Like It? This was a game show where contestants were shown pictures that they liked on Instagram and questioned about their intentions. Kenan Thompson, the host, said to contestant Jake Gyllenhaal, "You did the double tap." It was a bikini picture. This despite Gyllenhaal's character having a girlfriend. Beth liked a picture from 5 years ago posted by her ex-boyfriend's sister in the hope she's reminded to bring her up at the next family gathering. The point is, people are shallow and addicted to online thirst traps. Round two is called Why Do You Follow Them? The subject, Joe Biden. And we heard everyone's false rationales before the real reasons are revealed. Good stuff. The Simpsons made history last night. They had a character use American Sign Language. The story centered on Lisa. I hate Lisa episodes. Sorry. Lisa episodes are the worst. Sorry. They are. Lisa discovers that her favorite musician and mentor, the late saxophonist Bleeding Gums Murphy, had a son who was born deaf. She meets the young man Monk, who wants to get a cochlear implant, but Lisa gets a little too overexuberant in trying to help him. The creative team had a few problems. The biggest problem being Simpsons characters only have four fingers. Writer Lonnie Steele said it was a little tricky, especially because the one thing we're translating is Shakespeare, but I think we pulled it off. The LA Times spoke to 50 comics about the 50th anniversary of the Comedy Store. I'm not going to read all 50, but three of them. Andrew Dice Clay said, "I flew from Brooklyn for a 3-minute audition at the store. I did 28 minutes. As I'm leaving the stage, some MC screaming how I'll never do the club again. I said, I didn't fly 3,000 miles to do 3 minutes. Get out of my way. The next day, I got a call from Booker Steve Moore telling me to come to the club. I was a paid regular. Nice." Nick DiPaolo said, "On a Saturday night in the main room, I followed Richard Pryor. He was in a wheelchair at that point, and he was talking, but he kept flubbing. So I go on, and 10 seconds into my first joke, I stumble on my words, and I go, is that stuff contagious that he has? Half the room laughed, the other half booed. And Maj Jobrani said, when Mitzi Shore made me a regular, she said, I can't believe this, wear the hat and gown, meaning a turban. I thought, this will ruin my career. I crafted a story that if I dressed in a traditional Muslim garb, would be targeted for a terrorist attack. They bought it. And they wore a t-shirt and jeans. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. If you would like to become a premium subscriber, $5 a month on Apple Podcasts gets you early releases and commercial-free episodes. See you tomorrow.